That's where rednecks and blue collars came from.
And even when you're talking about rednecks, I always wondered, tell me what is considered a redneck, and also, is it a derogatory term if someone is using it outside your culture?
See, that's kind of a little bit of a touchy situation, but not really too bad, so we can dive into that for a minute. A redneck is more, you know, there's country, and, you know, they're kind of like, maybe even you want to call like the Luke Bryans. Those are like country, like they wear their jeans and their boots, you know, but they're always kind of clean looking. They got their real fresh, sharp ass look all the time.
Yeah.
Redneck, we may not be as clean. I mean, I clean up, you know, for interviews, I clean up to go to church on Sunday with the wife and kids to go out to dinner. But a lot of times I come home with grease stains on my britches. I come home with holes in my shirt because I've done tore them up at work.
Right.
Or, you know, I'll come home with my boots falling plumb apart. A pair of work boots wore slicker than a baby's ass. Mm. I put that in the song one time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that, I think the lower, and I'm not even going to say the lower class because it sounds derogatory, but the lower version, maybe the not as much money people, you know, they ain't done rose to that effect yet.
Right.
Those are more the rednecks. Now, like I said, there's good and bad in every culture. There's some rednecks that they're just assholes. I wouldn't fool with them.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't fool with them. But then there's some, you know, country boys that it's like, look, they're just too preppy in the country lane. They're just, they want to be country, but they want to preppy too.
Right.
So a redneck is really one of those people all based on how are their actions.
Right.
If their actions are cool, you know, you don't even have to have a sunburnt neck. I know that's a stereotype.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a redneck. But to be a redneck, you know, like they like NASCAR. You know, they like to hunt and fish. Mm. They like to be outside all the time. I'm dirty. I don't give a damn. I'll clean up when I go home. Who gives a fuck if I got holes in my jeans? Who cares if my damn jeans got oil and grease stains on them? Most of them do.
Right. I've been out here working my ass off.
I've been out here. I think it's funny because I put on my Coleman page, I found one of the memes that I liked a lot. And it was of a dude's work truck, and he had it on the back of the truck. People had been stealing his tools, right? Mm. And he was, you know, home renovations and everything. So he puts a big-ass sticker on the back of his toolbox and says, "Do not steal my tools. I need those to pay your benefits."
Mm.
Why are you stealing my tools when I'm working and paying the government and they're paying for you guys? Why are you over here stealing from me?
Right.
You're stealing from your own self.
Right. Any type, man, it's any segment of people is going to be good and bad. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
So I just want to make sure that's clear and understood. But also I wanted to understand, okay, if me as a black man call you a redneck, would you take that as disrespectful?
No.
Okay.
Because rednecks, we're happy about what we are.
Right.
I mean, it's like Ryan Upchurch. He's got a song Hillbilly and all kinds of stuff dealing with rednecks. We're happy for who we are.
Right.
But at the same time, I guess if you wanted to know the derogatory term, you know, since we're on that, it would be calling us a cracker. I mean, I guess that would be,
so, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of like not just disrespecting us, but our skin color, too. It's
right.
The same thing with, you know, when people use the derogatory term towards black people
right,
as well.
Right.
It's like, you just disrespect me, but you disrespect my culture, my heritage, and everything.
Right.
So let's not go there. Let's not cross those borders.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
See, the thing is, and I even laugh at it because, you know, I know a lot of black artists, they laugh at themselves in that way. They use the N-word. I mean, that's their deal. Well, I do it, too, in my music as far as using cracker. I told them one time on a song, I'm going to prove them wrong. I said, y'all think I'm just a dirty cracker? Well, hell, I'm a country rapper.
Right. It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's the same thing. And I always kind of wondered when it comes to it. Cause also, it seemed like people, when they are trying to be, because, you know, sometimes people try to intentionally try to talk bad about someone. So I think it's the way you use the word as well. Just like I say the word nigga or something like that. I can say it in an endearing way with a friend,
mm-hmm.
or I can be talking about someone that just ain't shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It all depends on the way you use it.
Yes.
And it feels like, just like the term with redneck, it could possibly be used in the same way.
Yeah. I feel like the cracker's more of our kind of what sets us off.
Right.
When you're like, you dirt rotten, no good for nothing, cracker, you're like, oh, God, you done did it now.
Mm.
You're coming now. We got
fighting words now.
we're getting ready to go to blows here in a minute.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Let's not cross that line. It's the same thing with y'all. Like, you would not, you know, want anybody to disrespect you and say the N-word out wrong.
Right.
And in a derogatory form, and you're like, fuck, you done said what I thought you didn't say. I know you didn't say that.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
No way.
Yeah. It's time to move some furniture up in here. Sizzle alert this summer. Let the only thing smoking at your barbecue be the grill, not your grooming game. Get ready for the ultimate cookout season with Manscaped. Whether you're flipping burgers or cannonballing into the pool, make sure your meat looks neat with the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. Fire up your grooming routine and keep it cool with Manscaped. Head to manscaped.com and use promo code THPTV. Again, that's THPTV at manscaped.com to get 20% off and free shipping. I'm not even going to front with y'all. I've used multiple different other brands and tried to groom myself in that special sexy area. And I done came out nipped because they don't specialize in no tools that Manscaped does. I mean, they had me walking around, you know what I'm saying? And I'm up here blaming it on like, yeah, man, I was working out. Nah, I was just working out with the wrong groomer and getting my nuts snipped for no reason until I ran across Manscaped, and their products are amazing. I mean, these groomers got lights on them so you can get all the different angles, and they got specialized tools where I've never ever been nipped. Stop wasting time. Take advantage of this amazing discount, 20% off and free shipping. Go to manscaped.com and put in your promo code THPTV to take advantage of this great discount. Catch up with the times. The ladies love a smooth, clean area to put their eyes on and whatever else. Trust me, stay groomed or you're doomed.
That's how Cracker is does. Redneck, we laugh at that. You call me a redneck, I'm going to laugh my ass off. I am a damn redneck.
Damn right I am, yeah. Right?
I'm prideful of it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I know I like to have those type of conversations, man, because a lot of time people think it, but they may be afraid to ask. And then if we don't ask, that means it's going to lead to lack of understanding.
If we don't ask, we don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is a platform for everyone can just speak freely, and I think the more we do that, the more we can understand, and the more we can continue to grow together.
Well, not only that, the more our cultures can grow together.
Yeah, yeah.
The more
sure.
Instead of, you know, I'm just gonna put it out there right now for the world to hear. Fuck this division.
Exactly.
Fuck this. We need to come together as people, because like I said a while ago, we ain't just he's white, he's black, he's Mexican, he's whatever color. No, we are people. God put us here on the earth. We are one race.
Human race. Yeah.
Just because your skin color is darker than mine or mine's whiter than yours don't mean that we can't be friends. Don't mean we can't get along.
Right.
Hell, don't mean we can't go over to Kickboards and make a track together.
Exactly. And I don't know if you know it or not, but I was a rapper too. I just pivoted to podcasting because when I was in the scene doing shows a lot, and like when I went to West Coast doing shows, they had platforms available for artists. So I said, this was never available for me in my city, in my community.
Small town.
So I'm going to create it for others because I didn't have it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why when I'm listening to music, I relate to lyrics because I was a lyricist. I wrote, you know what I'm saying? So I can appreciate the effort and I can appreciate the story and authenticness that's in the music. So,
and that is the one thing that people do not understand about me. They say, oh, you must hear a beat and you just kill it. No, I'm a pre-writer. And what a pre-writer means is I have to write my whole story out, then transform it to a rhyme, then take that rhyme and find the beat and mix
that's
my
harder.
Beat the way I want to do it. But I feel like I get a better storytelling mode like that.
Yeah.
I feel like if I hear the beat and I'm, you know, writing to it in my head or whatever, and I'm pen and paper or texting it on my phone or whatever, I still get good results.
Yeah.
But it just don't feel as meaningful to me.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You got to go with whatever works best for you, man. I totally understand it. So, you know, we were talking about that, and then I also listened to a song called Backroads Living. And
that's off the new EP.
Yeah.
That's off the brand new EP that just dropped a couple days ago.
Yeah, so, you know, I can tell you take pride in where you're from, and it shaped a lot of who you are. So I wanted to ask you, you talked about, like, hunting, you know, driving big trucks, fishing, and more. So for those city folks from the outside looking in, what does back road living do for you as a man, and how was it fulfilling?
Well, it's the way I was born and raised. Just simply put, as a little kid, walking, you know, through the backwoods with my daddy, we have our fishing poles. During fishing time, you know, spring and summer, you'd be fishing. Hunting season come through, and hey, we was dying for hunting season. When big buck season come in, when deer season come in, oh, we was dying for them fall months. Then fall months that come in, you know, football's on TV, man. The deer is out running. They getting ready to go into rut, which means they're breeding, so they're going to be a little easier to get the big boys. Man, we damn go out there in full camo. We take our damn deer blinds or tree stands, whatever, and we just go out there and lay and wait.
Right.
No matter if it was bow, crossbow, rifle, shotgun, whatever season, we was on point.
Right.
And not only that, I have to say the hunting, no lying, it may be, you know, may sound a little cliche or whatever, but hunting saved my life in a lot of ways, because I remember there was times when it was just me and my old man, and hey, we was down to our last couple bucks and we didn't get the damn money in to get food for another couple of days. Daddy look at you. I remember coming home from school one time. It was a little bit of a sad story, but I'm going to tell it anyway because it's my podcast right now.
Mm-hmm.
I come home from school one day and we had a big pot of pinto beans. We had been eating on it for about 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, we go over. Daddy's like, man, it's time to get some beans. And we got one piece of cornbread left. He splits cornbread in half for us, gets ready to get some beans. He said, son, I'm sorry, there ain't enough beans for both of us. He puts a big ass fucking bowl of beans and hands it to me and says, this is yours. He said, I don't need to eat. My son's more important.
Right, right.
So right then and there, I know that, like, look, these backwoods, this is what it's all about right here.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks later, you know, we had got our groceries, everything was picking up for us a little bit, but we're big eaters, we're big boys. My daddy was 6'3" and weighed over 300 pounds. My daddy was a hoss of a man.
Yeah.
And I was bigger then than I am now. I've had to work so much. I've worked some of my weight off. But, you know, I remember I come home and I'm like, damn, daddy, it's about time to eat again. He's like, yeah, we got some stuff over here. You know, we got our beans and we got all kinds of stuff. You know, we can make some cornbread. We ain't got no meat.
Right.
He said, I know what to tell you about meat tonight. He said, I don't get paid for another 3 or 4 days. I can't get us no meat.
Right.
I said, I can. He said, take your 22 Magnum in the woods, see if you don't kill us some squirrels. Swear to goodness. Evening time, busted 4 squirrels, took them, skinned them, gutted them, put them in the crock pot. That's how we ate meat for supper that night.
Absolutely.
The real shit.
Yeah.
The shit that people can look at you and say, oh, there ain't no way. I don't care. You didn't live it. I did. It's my life. This is my story.
Yeah.
I lived it.
Yeah. Man, I love that, man. Going out there, hunting, killing your own food. Mm-hmm. People don't know about going to back to that barn. Because I remember cutting them deer by the wrists, ankles. Mm-hmm. Skinning them,
yep.
You know what I'm saying? Seeing that, doing that work, and preparing that food for ourselves, it's nothing like it. And it also makes you have an appreciation when you're out of that lifestyle. But still, man, it forms such a different type of work ethic and appreciation. And then you also have that bond. It's going to be a different bond with your family members, because you guys, we were surviving together. You didn't just raise me.
No, we survived together.
We survived together.
When we weren't supposed to make it, we made it.
That's a whole different type of love.
That's why my dad was not only my father, but my best damn friend, because we went through the ups and through the downs.
Yeah,
I've seen years when he could buy brand new trucks and the house was getting ready to be paid for, all new furniture. I've seen years where we was damn scumming along.
Yeah.
I've seen years where we was killing our own damn food, stocking the deep freezer up with meat, squirrels, groundhogs. I even wrote a song about it, groundhog gravy.
I never ate groundhogs.
It's an old family recipe that we make, groundhog gravy.
I had squirrel, I had rabbit, I had turtle, I had deer. Maybe a little bit of coon, but I can't remember. Bear.
We go coon hunting all the time.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we used to stay coon hunting. Didn't even have no dogs either. Just went coon hunting.
Oh, yeah. Y'all was raw with it.
Yeah. We was. We didn't have no dogs.
Yeah. And you got them life skills, so if something happened, you could still survive.
I can.
People don't understand how
Hank
important
Williams
that is.
Jr. said it best. A country boy can survive.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've been a long time out of that life. So I have to get my feet wet all over again, but I'm sure to come back.
If you came and ran with me for 2 weeks, I'd have your ass right.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that.
Yeah, I'll take you up on that. Yeah, so all that's dope, but I want to pivot real quick, because those were some real cool stories and things like that, and testimonies. I'm going to pivot real quick, because into a segment of our show is called Who You Rocking With.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you two options. You let me know which one you would choose over the other first. And it don't mean you don't like the other one. It's okay, this will be my favorite. This is what I'm going to listen to first.
All right.
All right, so who you rocking with? This is recent. Kendrick or Drake?
Drake.
Any reason behind that?
The older music. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Ooh.
Started from the bottom, now my whole team fucking here.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's hard.
Yeah.
I rock with Drake more, too.
And I also like the collabs he did with Nicki and Lil Wayne, too.
Yeah, yeah. So you haven't been steered away from him with this recent thing.
No, see, my modern taste of music, if I'm going for the hip-hop genre, really my two big dogs that I go with is Rick Ross or 2 Chainz. Those are the two that, if I hear a Rick Ross or 2 Chainz song, don't turn that off. Put that shit on repeat.
Right, right.
Anybody else, I may be like, okay, yeah, I'm rocking with that, but it's over now. Let's go to somebody else, not 2 Chainz. No,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, 2 Chainz
watching.
Yeah. 2 Chainz go hard. Ross do too.
I love Rick Ross. My daddy always used to say, hey, play the big boss man. Play that big boss man, Ricky Ross, the biggest boss.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, so who you rocking with? Now I'm going to go to some old school Western shows. You know what I'm saying? Right. Let me know who you rock with the most. The old school Clint Eastwood or the Westerns with John Wayne?
Oh, that's a hard one. That's a hard one, because John Wayne was the Duke. But I tell you one thing, Dirty Harry was a bad.
He was a bad one. For real, man. I still watch those with my pops to this day. Whenever I go back home in the country, he still got Clint Eastwood up playing. Mm-hmm.
My daddy still had Hee Haw playing to the day he died.
Wow.
Hee Haw, old Roy Rogers and Hee Haw.
Yeah, yeah.
Buck Owens and the Buckaroos.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yes, sir.
For sure. For sure. I used
Grizzly
to
watch Adams.
Oh, yeah.
The
all
old
that.
School shows. My daddy loved Dukes of Hazzard, old school.
Yep.
Anything old school.
Yeah.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yep. I remember all Hutch. Those. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. You going back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched all that growing up as a kid. I didn't watch modern TV growing up.
Right, right.
I was watching the old 70s and 80s shows thinking I was living like them.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. Growing up with the old school people, man, like you watch what they grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, who you rocking with? Jay-Z or Eminem?
Eminem.
Mm. Any reason behind that?
Yeah, because I like Jay-Z better back when Big still was living.
Okay.
Back when they was doing their collabs together, back when he had that kind of older like feel, kind of maybe even more of what you would call the West Coast hip hop vibe.
Right.
Now I think he's transitioned into the newer effects. He likes a lot of the more effects, which no disrespect to that. Everybody yeah. grows as an artist, but that man, that damn old 90s Jay-Z. If I'm going Jay-Z, I'm going 90s because right. I know Big's going to be somewhere around.
Right, right. I totally agree. And I'm kind of the reverse with Jay. I actually would choose Eminem over Jay-Z as well just because of. Man, he was just fearless in the things he talked about.
Yes.
You know, when it comes to his mother, it was a crazy type of relationship. But the way he just
or when he would come all against those skeletons Hayes' mama, out, when he would come against Kim,
yeah, like he yeah. talked about all those type of things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't know if I really heard that when it comes from Jay-Z being so truthful about family. He more so was that. You know, he was talking about the hustling, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying, selling drugs, getting
up. He was
up.
Talking about the hustle to get there, but then when he got there, he kind of did like Notorious did. When Big got
right.
up, you could hear, like, Big's first album, he's sung about that hardship, the struggle, but when he got with, you know, when he got with Puff and everybody, they're
right.
like, look, Big, you need some radio tracks.
Right.
So that's where Juicy came from.
Yeah, yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's where Mo Money, Mo Problems came from.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
where a lot of the good stuff from Notorious came from was
absolutely.
When he finally slowed down and went with Bad Boys and got under
mm-hmm.
the understanding, like, look, I can rap street shit all day.
Right.
That ain't what's going to make me rich. They want to hear money, cars, clothes,
right.
Bentleys,
make
the baddest shit of the
artist.
Bad, yes.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then, even back then, too, I was more so Pac than Biggie, so I didn't really give Jay-Z and them as much of a chance because
mm-hmm.
I was so caught up in
Tupac.
You know what I'm saying?
And who could not be? Because Tupac wasn't just a rapper. He was a character.
Yeah.
He was a rapper. He was an actor. I mean, he was a visionary at the same time.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's because of the South. We related more to what they were talking about. I'm not sure what it is, but I was definitely. And also, like, I was big on DMX, too, though. Because of how he presented his music. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was
kind of gritty, grimy
right.
street music. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I loved,
yeah.
man. So, but also, I like the later Jay-Z, like the 444 Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
That's more so when I became more of a bigger fan of Jay-Z.
Right.
When he was putting that game out with the 444.
See,
like,
I think I'm kind of the reverse of that. If I hear
yeah.
that music, that old 90s, maybe even early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
but as long as I know they're somewhere around that Biggie time.
Right.
It's like that was the Jay-Z I
yeah,
remember.
Yeah. yeah, it was hard, though.
Because that was
hard.
The Jay-Z I grew up listening to. I never did listen to none of the newer stuff. His newer stuff never intrigued my attention enough to say, you know, I'm going to sit down on YouTube and listen to this whole album all the way through.
Right.
It never grasped me that way.
Right, right. I feel you. Okay, bet. All right, who you rocking with? Yellow Wolf or Jelly Roll?
Oh, man. Jelly Roll.
Mm.
Yes, because I like the multi-diverse way he went about coming from that street rapper. I've done been to prison. I've done lived the hardest shit. I've sold drugs. I've handed copies of my music out while I was selling drugs.
Right.
And then you come into that now, he's on the damn Grand Ole Opry. He's on the CMAs with
yeah.
the big dogs. He's
yeah.
done did a,
he
not even
playing.
A 180. He went a 360 twist on everybody.
He ain't playing, man.
No.
And I
and
love
the songs
it.
He's singing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love them. I recite them all the time at the house. Me and the wife would be sitting around, and a Jelly Roll song, come on, that's the first thing I'm jumping into.
Yeah, and I love he just kept going, man. He got big later on in life.
Yes.
You know what I'm
it's
saying?
It's like it took him forever.
Right.
It's like, damn, he's done went to prison, sold drugs. He's done did everything under God, you know, under
yeah.
the damn sun.
Yeah.
But at the same time, all these years later,
right.
after all this time, he's ginormous now.
Yeah.
And he didn't get no small fame rise. He went from nothing
right.
to superstar.
Yeah, super. Yeah, I man, that is the fact. And I love that story because a lot of time, man, people, especially in rap genre, they'll try to put a cap on the age
mm-hmm.
you can be to be successful. They'll try to say, oh, man, you over 30, you still rapping. You over 35, you still rapping, you lame. But no other genres do that.
See, that is the truth. But even in the country rap genre,
mm-hmm.
and I even told my brother-in-law this, we've been talking about it, and I said, you know what? I hate to say it. Maybe I joined this game a little bit late because, look, I'm closing in on 30 here before long. I'll be turning 30. And I said, look, you got to think 30, then you get some success. Then after all, are you going to be bouncing on stage at 45, 50 years old singing Rednecks and Blue Collars or Down by the Holler? Am I going to be up here, you know, throwing down like that?
Mm-hmm.
Because Ryan Upchurch put it in great perspective on one of his Instagram posts he put out. He said, you know what? He said, I'm a holler boy, but a holler boy can't last forever. He said, I'm not going to be 60 years old up here jamming YZ. He said, I know that. He said, so I'm getting into the ballads more now. I'm getting into the slow down where I can come up on stage and sit down on a stool and drink me a beer while I'm singing.
Right.
He said, I'm trying to get out of the fast shit. At the same time, I still like doing it, but I'm trying to transition.
Right.
I'm in that point now where I'm looking at like, okay, I'm going on 30. If I don't get no traction before long, there's, you know, some thoughts to be made here. And, you know, we're going to have to figure this out. But I don't really think I want to jump into ballads, not a whole ballad album.
Right, right.
I like to throw them and pick and choose when I want a ballad. I like a ballad to be like maybe one in the whole album or two in the whole album, but they got so much emotion that kind of lays the country rap down for a minute.
Right, right. You got to, man, I tell you this, man, just keep pushing. You know, it's not, we can't put our timing on what people saying to us.
Nope.
We can't do that because it's God's timing.
It is.
You just keep pushing forward. If you still got the love for it,
mm-hmm.
you just keep pushing, man, because you just never know when that time going to come for you.
Yep.
It's not going to come when you want it. It's going to come on God's timing, you know?
And I told my wife, too, another thing right quick. I told her, I said, you know what? When I go to the studio and I go putting all these badass tracks out, for me, it's almost like buying a lottery ticket. And every track, I'm like scratching that lottery. Did I win?
Right.
Did I win?
Right.
Did I win? Knowing that one day when you finally get to that one that the world loves, there's your golden ticket.
Yep. Yep. That's the truth. That's the truth. So that's why you just got to keep going, man. Stay consistent. All right. Next one. Who you rocking with? Garth Brooks or Willie Nelson?
Garth Brooks.
Mm.
Garth Brooks was the king of country for the longest. All through the 90s, it was Garth.
Yeah.
Wide open.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He I love Willie Nelson, too, though. I love old school.
Yeah.
Love old school Willie Nelson, but probably have to take Garth Brooks on that one.
I got you. I got you. There was another track where I heard you, you know, talking about your pops, Gone But Not Forgot. So can you tell us a little bit of, you know, inspiration behind that and kind of what that song's about?
Of course. Actually, just to clarify, that is the third memorial track that I did for my dad.
Oh, wow.
I did one titled The Ghost, and I did one titled Daddy's House. And those two were actually very special because they had voice clips of him from when he had called me through times, and I could hear him talking back to me. But I made him in like an eerie stand. I didn't want him to be clean and clear. I wanted like grainy kind of voice behind it, like he's gone, but, you know.
Right.
So for this one, I was just kind of like playing around writing a little bit. And I'm like, you know what? I said, this is going to be another album. It needs something really good on it. Most of my albums, when I go with a full-fledged album, I always throw a track to him on it some way or another.
Right.
And this one right here, I was like, you know what? He may be gone. He ain't never going to be forgot.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
And so when we was doing this one, I was writing to it. You know, I was getting my groove on, but I was struggling finding a beat. But I got lucky because Ryan, who is a huge, huge inspiration on YouTube for beatmakers, millions of views, millions of followers, followers everywhere. They love him. He sent me a 10-beat package, and he said, Coleman, can you work with this? And his assistant from Cali even called me when I got the beat package. And she said, you're Coleman. You're the country rapper. I said, I know this may be out of your lane, but can you work with this?
Okay.
I said, I can make something out of it. I said, it may take me longer because it's not the style of beats that I want to hear, but I can make something out of it.
Right.
So that's where the Country With Class album came from, which is where Gone But Not Forgotten originated off of. And when I did that, I found that beat, and it had like a slow tone. And I'm like, I need a whisper right there. I need a, you may be gone,
right,
but you will never be forgot.
Yeah.
And then I need to go into it with a fast rap because my other two, The Ghost and Daddy's House, they were rap, country rap, but they were more along the mid-range rap.
Okay.
The BPMs was lower,
yeah,
so it wasn't a fast speed kick it. This right here, it was just burning the mic up on this motherfucker.
Yeah.
I mean, legit. I played it for my wife when it came back from Kick Boys, and she looked at me and she said, is that mic on fire? Because I swear to God, you burn it.
Oh, yeah. Your wife got your back.
Yes.
That's dope, man. And then she keeping it real, which and also like
my wife is my damn producer as far as music videos.
Mm.
I bought her iPhone 15 so we can do all the shooting. She does the video editing. Me and her go together on the editing.
Nice.
She helps me with the distro kid, the distribution. I even went up and got some business cards printed out. Me and her put the business cards together before I got them professionally printed out.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. So yeah, and I think that's a real dope song, and I can appreciate how, you know, vulnerable you were in that music, and a lot of people relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you can always go back to. Is that, do you plan on doing something annually or, you know, something like that, a tribute? Because it sounds like you're, that's kind of been your, you know, path.
Yeah, you kind of, I don't know. It's just like whenever you feel it.
Yeah.
And when inspiration strikes, it may not strike for another 2 years, but right. when it does, I guarantee it's going to be fire.
Absolutely. 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 Okay, so also I was jamming the Outlaw, man. This is a whole...
totally different.
This is totally different. So when I was listening to that track, Outlaw, man, you just talking your shit in yes. there. You know what I'm saying? Talking about you got your Smith & Wesson. You know what I'm saying? You ain't playing no games. You ain't... If someone want to fight, you fighting. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, kind of like... Can you tell me a little bit of the inspiration behind that track?
Yeah, the Outlaw actually came from me and my brother-in-law. We was writing... He had a beat that he had found, and he was writing to it, and... He goes by Razor Ricky, and you know, me and him, we was playing with it a lot, and it came to the point where we never could get nowhere with it because the funds wasn't together. I could get mine together, but he couldn't get his together, or I could do this, and he couldn't do that, or we was just so blended in trying to get up here to Kickboys, do it together instead of splitting it. You know, right. we wanted that in-house togetherness. That's the way we did down by the Holler.
Right.
It was down home, but it was in-house. He raps, I rap. We're in the booth together. That's yeah. the connection that I want with somebody when I do a collab.
Right.
So I'm like, you know what? We're going to try this. He said, look, man, I'm sorry. He said, right now I'm down on my luck. You know, I ain't got no job right now, but I'm working on getting one. He said, take Outlaws and make it fire. He said, just take Outlaws and turn it into a Coleman original. Make it fire.
Right.
I said, bet. You got it.
Yeah.
I got that. So I went on Jake Angel. I found the track. I found what I liked. I said, this is Outlaws right here.
Yeah.
This one's Outlaws.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But so, it does talk about, you know, Smith & Wesson on my hip. I keep that bitch for protection. Yeah. I talk about everything. Burning rubber down the back roads, dead at midnight. I ain't never going to back down and run from a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm telling you what it is to be. Basically, Ryan Upchurch preaches it all the time. He calls his squad Holler Boys, Creek mm-hmm. Squad.
Right.
And what a holler boy is the guy from the holler that you can holler, hey, man, I need some help. And there he is on the spot.
Right.
That's what I wanted to try to kind of get my version of Holler Boys out to everybody without mimicking another great artist.
Right.
But in my own backwoods way, my yeah. own way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, man, when I'm listening to that track, and I'm saying you're tossing back your beard, you know what I'm saying, you got your Smith & Wesson, which you ain't turning down a fight. If someone want problems, we can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a lot about how we was kind of grew up too.
Yep.
You know, I'm riding with my boys. We ain't going out here starting nothing, but if you come over here and bother us, we can finish it.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that a lot of those same music, and they just run parallel. So, okay, what's the difference between an outlaw and a street guy? Like if someone saying they're a street dude, you know what I'm saying? Like, is there a difference?
That may actually be the same, really. I mean, the only difference, I guess you would say, a street dude maybe lives in the city and outlaws in the country, if you want to call it that.
Right.
If you even want to go that path with it.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I think you made a valid point right there. So, man, like, how can people, you know, tune into your music? How can they find you? Can you tell people, like, your Instagram, how your YouTube?
I got Instagram, Coleman_94 on Instagram, Coleman on Facebook. Coalman. We got a TikTok, Coleman94 on TikTok. Not really into TikTok, trying to get into it. I guess it's where it's a new wave, new era.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was born and raised in the backwoods, so all these social media platforms, they don't mean that much to me. I know I got to use them to promote music, but right. before music, I didn't even have none.
Right.
I grew up almost 30 years with no social media. Didn't give a damn if I had one or not.
Wow.
Well, now, you know, you got music going, you're trying to promote, so you know, step your game up a little bit.
Right.
YouTube, go under Coleman Official. I'm everywhere. Pretty much you could look up Coleman under Spotify, Pandora, all the streaming services, Deezer, even some of the smaller brands you may never heard of. I'm under there too.
Yeah.
I use DistroKid, so anything I want to click on, I click and I go there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to have all his information directly in the description below, so be sure to check him out, man. He got some dope music. He doing some dope things, and he got so much music and coming out. He's being consistent. And I think he's really one of the dope artists, one of the next ones to come up. So definitely make sure you lock in to what he got going on. Follow. Make sure you put in the comments your thoughts about his music, about, you know, his journey, and just what else you want to hear from him. You know what I'm saying? Because he got so much more. And hope I can have you back on again, man. It was a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. Any last words you want to just tell the people, anything like that?
Basically just, you know, keep pushing. Keep going with it. If you think that you can do it, if you got the money to do it, then do it. If you don't, and you got to understand, you know, sometimes you may have to admit defeat, but I hope nobody has to admit defeat. I hope that if you can do music and you got a passion for it, then push it as far as you can anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ride it till the wheels fall off.
You're damn right. So until next time, you guys hold it down. Don't let it hold you. Peace. The Hottest Point Podcast. More than a pod, it's a lifestyle.